This morning's Bible reading is from John chapter 16, verses can be found in the inside of the service order or on page 1642 of the Black Bibles. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can no longer see me. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only of what he hears, and he will tell you of what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. This is God's word.
Thanks for reading, Jade, and let me add my welcome to Kate. My name's Ben, I'm the pastor here. It's great to see you, especially if you're visiting. I'm going to get you to spend a couple of minutes just looking at that passage. You can look at it on your own or talk to the people around you. What does this passage teach us about the work, the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Now, I'm partly doing that because that's a good exercise to do, isn't it? But also because I've forgotten something, which I'm going to go and get. So, you got a minute or two to have a look at that passage. Thanks. All right, and we're back. Great. Hope you enjoyed that time. It's a big weekend. Something was always going to get dropped. I'm going to pray, and then, let me just introduce things first. We're in this series this term based on the book by Dane Ortlund called Gentle and Lowly. We've called it The Heart of Christ. So we're thinking about who is Jesus? What is his heart towards us as his people? I've certainly found it refreshing to my soul to be looking at these truths again. And today, although the series is on the heart of Christ, there's one chapter in the book on the Spirit, and today we're thinking about that. We're thinking about the gift of the Holy Spirit and his ministry, particularly in relation to Christ's heart. So let me pray for us as we start. Father, we thank you for this great privilege we have right now. We've had your words opened and read to us, and we have time now to reflect upon it, to meditate on what it's teaching us. And we pray this morning that you will help us understand more clearly the work, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And not only that, but that we would experience the work of the Spirit in our own lives, even today. We pray it for Jesus' glory. Amen. I do need to warn you, although today's talk, I think it's going to be relatively short, it's quite dense, so I hope your minds are engaged. We're going to be looking not only at this passage, but a few others as well. Okay, let me start with this. When my daughters, Moya and Darcy, were growing up, I made up a number of songs to help teach truths about God. I made up one about the Holy Spirit. The words went like this. Shall I sing? I won't sing. Sing. Okay. All right. Give it a go. Darcy, come and join. No. Okay, it went like this. It was very simple. The Holy Spirit is a helper. The Holy Spirit is a helper. Cat knows it. The Holy Spirit is a helper. He helps us do five things. He helps us to know that Jesus is with us. He helps us to follow after Jesus. He helps us to tell other people and pray and understand God's word. Thank you. Now, it was kind of arbitrary that there were five things. I could have made there eight things or 12 things because the Spirit does many more things for us. He helps us in other ways. He's the one who brings us to new life. He's the one who gives us gifts with which to serve. He's the one who produces the fruit of Christlikeness in our lives, the one who helps us put sin to death and more. Over recent years, I found myself focusing in on one aspect of the Spirit's ministry, and it happens to be the focus of the chapter in Dane Ortlund's book. It's something that really incorporates a number of those five things, and it is this, and hopefully we have slides. Great. Thanks, Din. The Spirit makes Jesus real to us. The Holy Spirit, a primary work of the Holy Spirit is to make Jesus real to us. The truth of Jesus, the words of Jesus, the love of Jesus. It's the Spirit who makes those things real to us, who makes them a felt reality in our lives. Or as Ortlund puts it in his book, the Spirit causes us to actually feel Christ's heart for us. So his book is all about the heart of Christ. The series is all about Christ's heart. But it's the Spirit who makes those truths, who takes those truths and applies them to our hearts so that we know them to be true. So we're going to take a look at John 16, not going to unpack it fully, and we're going to reference some other passages as well. So John, did I say 15? 16? John 16. Have a look down again at verse 5, and I'm sorry the text is so small. Jesus says, verse 5, I've got it on the screen as well. But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going? Rather, you're filled with grief because I've said these things. But, verse 7, very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Do you see what Jesus is saying? It's a bit of a surprise. He's saying it's good that he leaves. Why? Well, because only if he leaves will the advocate come. Who is this advocate that he's talking about? Well, that word advocate, it's translated in various different ways in different versions of the Bible. Advocate, helper, comforter, counselor. Literally, it means someone who comes alongside bringing help and comfort. And Jesus is talking here about the Holy Spirit. And what he's saying is the gift of the Spirit requires the departure of Jesus. Jesus says it's good that he goes and the Spirit comes. And I wonder if we would agree. Often, I think it would be much better to have been there, like the first disciples, to have seen Jesus in the flesh. You know, I think the Spirit's good, but not as good. You know, definitely second best. But Jesus seems to think it's better. One way in which it's better is that the Spirit can be present with every follower of Jesus around the world all the time. When Jesus lived on earth, he was limited by his body, one place at a time. The Spirit can be present with all believers all the time. Great. But I still often think having the presence of the Spirit is nothing like having the presence of Jesus. Now, in Philippians, Paul says this, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Goes on, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yeah, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. So Paul says, it is better by far to depart this life, presence of Jesus. There will be something wonderful about seeing Jesus face to face, being with him in body. But To say that having the presence of the Spirit is nothing like having the presence of Jesus, totally wrong. Look at what Jesus says in John 14. "And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." That's curious, isn't it? Jesus' return to heaven does not mean that he is absent from us. "I will not leave you as orphans," he says, "but I will come to you." And he's talking there about the Spirit. So the coming of the Spirit to live within the Christian is in some way the coming of Jesus to live within the Christian, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. People sometimes say, you know, "I'm with you in spirit." You know, if they can't make it to some events that you're involved in, like maybe Darcy's doing a concert, a performance, and I say, "I'm not going to be able to be there, but I'll be with you in spirit." What do I mean? It means like I'm behind you, hope it goes well, I'm with you in spirit. What Jesus says here is much more than that. He's not just saying, "Hey guys, I'll be with you in spirit." No, the Holy Spirit is a person. To have the Spirit living in you doesn't just mean having an impersonal spiritual force. A Christian is someone whose life has been filled by another person. To be a Christian is to have a constant companion. Everywhere you go, if you're a Christian believer, you have the person of the Holy Spirit with you. You have God in you. Wow! The person of the Spirit is distinct, yes, from the Father and distinct from the Son, Jesus, but he's so intimately united that to have the Spirit is to have Jesus. "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." I always remember an older Christian leader who I respect enormously saying that it's wrong when people say, when they talk about Jesus living in their hearts. It's like, no. Where is Jesus? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. We say it in our creeds. That's where Jesus is. But we've got to take seriously what Jesus says here, right? "I will come to you." Elsewhere, he talks about he and the Father making their home with us. He promises elsewhere, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." So yes, doctrinally, creedally, where is Jesus? He's in heaven. But the person of the Holy Spirit makes the presence of Jesus a reality for us. Jesus is bodily in heaven, but by his Spirit, he is truly, really present with us here and now. I should also say, you've got an outline. No, you don't. You've got space to write notes. And this talk is a little bit kind of all over the place. So, great. We're going to take a look at a couple of other passages in the New Testament that kind of flesh out this work of the Spirit. Ephesians 3 says this. Paul is talking about his prayers for the Ephesians. So he says, "I pray that out of God's glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." There it is again. Through the Spirit, Christ dwells in your hearts through faith. And he goes on, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Paul's praying for the Ephesians that through the Spirit Christ may dwell in their hearts and that they would grasp his love. Now, didn't the Ephesians know that Jesus loved them? Didn't they sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know," because maybe not, but they knew it, right? They knew Jesus loved them. They were Christians. So why is Paul praying this? I take it he's praying for a deeper knowledge, that they would grasp it, as he says. They grasp just how huge Christ's love is, and that they would know it. Isn't that a lovely phrase? He prays that they would know this love that surpasses knowledge. They'll never know it exhaustively. but he wants them to know it more and more. And I take it he's talking about more than head knowledge. He's talking about knowing in their experience, knowing Christ's love for them as a felt reality. Now, all of that is the work of the Spirit. Paul prays that God would work through his Spirit, that the Spirit would make Jesus real so that he's dwelling in their hearts, would make the love of Jesus known so they're growing to all the fullness of God. There's a similar thing in Romans 5, verse 5. Paul again says, "And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us." See, we can know about Christ's love, God's love. We can look at the full demonstration of God's love at the cross where Jesus gave himself for us. But it's the Spirit who pours that love into our hearts so that we know it as a felt reality. Jonathan Edwards was an American theologian and pastor a while ago. He wrote a very important book called Religious Affections, and he used this illustration. He said, it's one thing to believe that honey is sweet, but it's another thing to taste the sweetness of honey on your tongue. It's the particular ministry of the Spirit to enable us to taste and see, to taste the goodness of God, to savor the beauty of Christ's heart, to have a deep felt assurance of the love of Jesus for us. Now, I don't know if this is true for you, but all this talk about experience and a felt reality, you know, it makes some people nervous. And we need to say, we experience things differently. Our experience of Christ's love might be very emotional. It might not be. We're different personalities. We're wired differently. Some are more touchy-feely than others. But you can't say, I don't feel joy in Jesus because I'm not wired that way, and then sing your lungs out in joyful celebration when your footy team wins. If you feel joy in anything, then you should feel joy in Jesus. And it's the work of the Spirit to make the truth and the beauty and the wonder of Jesus real to us. That's what the Spirit loves to do. But how does he do it? You could write that down if you're making notes. This would be a transition in the talk. How does he do that? How do we access this ministry of the Spirit? Does he just zap us randomly as we're walking down the road? You know, remember, Jesus loves you. Well, he can. But usually, primarily, the Spirit works through the Word. That's actually the focus of the Spirit's ministry here in John 16 and in the previous chapters, 14 to 16. So here in chapter 14, Jesus is speaking. He says, "All this I've spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And then in chapter 16, he goes on, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He'll speak only what he hears, and he'll tell you what is yet to come." Now, this promise, these promises, they're specific for the first apostles. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will enable them to remember everything that he had taught them. And the Holy Spirit will speak all that Jesus still has to teach them. And they needed that ministry of the Spirit so that they could write the New Testament documents, the Gospels, the Epistles. It's because of this ministry of the Spirit that we believe in the authority of Scripture. Jesus is commissioning his apostles to teach his words, and he's empowering them with the Spirit to do it. That's why the apostles are called the foundation of the church. Their sermons go into the Bible, every other sermon comes out of the Bible. Some people try to separate the teaching of Jesus from the teaching of the apostles. You know, you get red letter Bibles where the words of Jesus are in red print as if they're kind of more special, more authoritative. But if red signifies, now I'm not saying it's wrong to have one of those Bibles, but if red signifies authoritative words, the whole thing should be red. The writings of the apostles are the teachings of Jesus. To submit to the authority of the Bible is to submit to the authority of Christ. But the main point I want us to take away this morning here is not the authority of Scripture, but the purpose of it. Look at that final verse on the screen. Jesus says, "He, the Spirit, will glorify me because it's from me that he'll receive what he'll make known to you." This is the work of the Spirit, to glorify the Son. Tim Keller said, "The purpose of Scripture is to get you to fall in love, to see Jesus' glory, to see his beauty, his worthiness." You know, maybe you believe the Bible, you accept its authority, but have you fallen in love with Jesus? The Spirit takes what we read in the Bible, what we believe on paper about Jesus, and he moves it from theory to reality, from doctrine to experience. It is the Spirit of Christ speaking the word of Christ who makes real to us the presence of Christ. Have you had that experience as you read the Bible or hear it preached, that it's come alive to you, that Jesus has become real to you? Well, that is the work of the Spirit. As we read the Scriptures, the Spirit shines the light into our hearts so that we see and hear the Lord Jesus. You know, even if we could have sat on that mount as Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount, all those amazing teachings, we would not have been more blessed than we are now as we sit with Spirit-inspired words in our hands and the Spirit of Christ in our hearts. Do you want to know more of Christ? Do you want to know more of his heart, his love as a felt reality in your experience? Do you want a renewed vitality in your relationship with Jesus? Then go to his word and pray for his Spirit to bring it to life for you. Ask him to show you the glory of Jesus, the beauty of Jesus, that you might fall in love with him again. I pray for us that that would be our experience. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are alive, that you are a living Savior and Lord. And we thank you for this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, your Spirit, to live with us and in us, to make known to us your heart, your love, your presence. And we long for more of that, Lord Jesus. We long to know you, to know your words, to know your love more and more. So please, would you stir us up? Would you work powerfully by your Spirit that Christ would dwell in our hearts, that we would grasp more of his love, and that you would lead us into all truth for the glory of your name. Amen.